Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
St. Martins, Missouri is a tiny hamlet of a town. Its population is less than 1,200 people and sits almost dead centre of Missouri. But the family of Alyssa Bustamante was far from the norm in St. Martins. In 2002, Alyssa and her three young siblings were taken by their grandparents after their father, Caesar, went to prison and their mother had issues with addiction. That meant she was unable to look after them. Yet Gary and Karen Brooke adored the four children and hoped that life with them would be stable for Alyssa and her siblings. Fast forward to 2009, and Alyssa was exhibiting concerning behaviours. School friends noticed that she had begun self-harming, and 2 years earlier in 2007, Alyssa had attempted to end her life. She also kept a diary of her darkest thoughts, and in times of boredom, she dug graves in the bushland behind her home. Yet none of her behaviours gave any warning of what she would do. On the afternoon of October 21, 2009, 9-year-old Elizabeth Alton was excited when Alyssa's 6-year-old half-sister knocked on her door and asked her to come and play. Elizabeth's mother approved, saying she should come home after an hour. The two girls then spent the afternoon playing together outside Brooke's home. When the hour came and went without Elizabeth returning home, her mother set out to remind her daughter that she would have to come home well before now. Mrs. Alton spotted the young girl who had been playing with Elizabeth and asked her where her daughter was. The 6-year-old said that Elizabeth had headed home a while ago. Alarmed that her daughter was missing, Mrs. Alton called police, and soon a team that included FBI agents had arrived to search the town for the missing 9-year-old girl.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Monsters Who Murder, Serial Killer Confessions.
Police found 27 corpses.
Australia's worst serial killer.
Even though I didn't want to get in the car, I had to.
With Amanda Howard and Robert McKnight.
Hello, I'm Rob McKnight. Welcome to a brand new season of Monsters Who Murder, Serial Killer Confessions. You know we couldn't do this show without the serial killer whisperer, true crime author and criminologist. You call her Amanda Howard, I call her pain in the ass. Hello, Amanda.
Oh, they don't know how true that is.
Do you know, I'm really excited to be back, and I'm really excited about some changes we've made to Patreon because finally they've given you access. We can have two people at the same time, which means yes. The $10 secret Facebook group now moves over to Patreon. Amanda, it's a whole new world.
I know, and I'm already starting to annoy people because I am posting because I can now access it. So I just share my weirdest and wonderful ideas at 3 o'clock and everyone just got to go, okay, whatever, and either answer or not.
No, that's what it's for. That's what people love. They love having this access. And, of course, if you want to be part of that, just go to patreon.com/MWMconfessions. Amanda, tell us a little bit about who we are focused on in this edition of Monsters Who Murder.
Well, this is about the death of Elizabeth Alton at the hands of Alyssa Bustamante. I know that that's a spoiler alert, but we all know why we're here when we see what the episode's called. Yes. But it's interesting how this case is going to twist and turn. And I've actually set you a clue, Robert. I want you to find out what the twist is because I don't think you're going to spot it and most people won't either. But this is going to go in some crazy places, but at the same time it's going to be heart-wrenching because there's people involved here that are just literally you just want to hold them for the rest of your life. But, it's a great opener for the new season and I'm excited that we're actually here again finally.
All right, well, let's get into it because we've heard the setup, but let's pick up where the six-year-old sister of Alyssa was interviewed at length by police as they tried to work out what happened to Elizabeth. Yet her story never wavered. The two girls had been playing together before Elizabeth said she had to go home. Believing the girl may have been kidnapped in a crime of opportunity, roadblocks were put in place to check every vehicle coming or going through St. Martin's. Investigators were at a loss until the six-year-old remembered something that she had not previously told them. While the two young girls had been playing, 15-year-old Alyssa had decided to join them. When other leads failed, attention turned to the teenager. It would be during an interrogation that Alyssa would eventually confess to killing Elizabeth. So we now head to that interrogation. And as always, Amanda, you've told me to brace for some twists and turns. You've mentioned those. You reckon I won't see coming. So I am here for it.
Yeah, you're going to have to watch very closely this time. You've got to watch how people move and what they say, and there's a lot that's going to be going on at the same time.
All right. Now, to set the scene in the extremely tiny interrogation room, we have Officer Dave Rice, Juvenile Officer Toby Meyer, that's a female, who is there to be an advocate due to Alyssa's age, Alyssa and her grandmother, Karen Brooke. Alyssa is in front and centre of the camera and believes she is there just to answer some questions. She absolutely has no idea that she was a suspect when she entered the room. Rice asks Alyssa a few general questions about who she lives with and then to explain how the day had begun from when she woke up. So let's see how all this begins.
I came home on the bus, and I got home around 3. No, 4. 3:30, 4. I got home around then, and I just hung out my room for a little while, and then I went for a walk around 5:45, something like that, and I was just walking around in the forest for a while. And I was supposed to take my little sister with me, but I ditched her because she's annoying.
Okay.
And I was just walking around in the forest. And then for about an hour, I came back around 5:36-ish. And I went up in my room. And I heard, like, Emma yelling. So I went outside. And I, like, she was down in the, like, ditch area. And she was stuck in thorn bushes. So I went down there, and I helped her out, and she asked me why I was waiting, because, you know, I found out on my period.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, don't tell anyone that. And so we went out there, and my brother and Anthony were asking about Elizabeth, because she was supposed to be at home or something.
Okay.
And I didn't really think much of it, so we just went back to the house. And then started to get ready to go to church because we have Wednesday night activities.
Okay.
And Anthony came, and he's like, he was pounding on the door, and he was like, "Do you know where Elizabeth is?" Because he couldn't find her. And that's when things started to get, you know, people were like, "Oh, what's going on? Like, where is she?" But we ended up going to church, and a lot of stuff happened while we were there. Because it's from 7 to 8:15-ish, and when we came back, it was 3 sheriff cars in our property, and there was people out searching everywhere.
Okay, so Alyssa seems pretty calm, Amanda. She's going over a day quite easily. She really doesn't understand that she's a suspect. We know they always start out with easy questions. Is there anything that would be sounding alarm bells from what the detectives are hearing?
Well, this is why they ask these generalized questions, because they want to see what their truth speech patterns are like, to see what they do when they're going to lie. But what we also have here is that she's going into specific detail about certain things, about certain times of the day, and then it's like, oh, and then for an hour I wasn't around, I just didn't do anything, I just went back to my room. And that's the hour, that's the most important part of this. And then she's going, oh, and then we went to church, and this person said this to me, this person said that to me. So we have that vague hour, which is very different when everything else was quite, like, important, and that's what she was saying, you know, but she's trying to keep herself calm as well, and she's nodding to sort of also create that that sense that she's trying to prove that what she's saying is right and true and not question it. So her nods are very important for those that are watching the film, because it will show how she is going to change. But for right now, she's quite calm, she's speaking easily, she's just doing what she needs to, answering the questions, forgetting about what one major part of the day, and just going along like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you want to see the video, just go to mwm.uscreen.io, or you can do the $25 tier at Patreon. It's interesting when you see her, Amanda, because I didn't get a sense of nervousness from her. It's interesting what you say about the nodding and the vagueness about that hour. She's a young girl. She's got the hair that sort of combs over her one of her eyes, but she looks a bit tomboyish from what I can see in the video. But she's not the kind of girl that stands out as being a troublemaker or anything like that. She just seems like a typical young girl to me.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what makes these people so scary, is that we expect them to not become killers of 9-year-old children. Yeah. So for her to just look like that, she's calm. She even spoke about that there was blood on her jeans and was embarrassed that it was period blood, which it wasn't. You know, there's all of that's going to come up. But it's interesting how she relays part of that lie as well, and she sort of creates that as part of it. So then
That's quite smart, really, the things
that she's saying. Oh, she's got an answer for everything. This is a very interesting interrogation. This is why we're opening the season with this one, because I've been watching this one for weeks because it is that fascinating. And she plays this very well.
Okay. Well, so after Alyssa goes through her story, Rice uses the tactic we have seen many times before. He now wants her to go through it all again and add the details that he knows she has skipped over.
So 3:30, that's who was home. Mm-hmm. What did you do when you got home?
I went in my room, went to the bathroom, did usual stuff when you get home from school.
Sure.
And then I decided to go for a walk. It was a nice day, Wednesday.
Okay.
So I went outside in the forest.
Where'd you go? You said you went to a walk. Where'd you go?
Okay. There's like a tree line. Do you want to like draw this for you?
I have a map.
Oh.
Well, now, the thing about this map, okay. I don't think it has where your actual house is. So the way I understand it's the new house would be right back here. Is that right? Okay, let's say the new house is ballpark here.
Now, this is interesting. He has a map. Now, we've seen suspects having to draw things in the past, but having a map there is... I reckon that's speaking volumes. He is ready for Alyssa to talk about her afternoon.
Yeah, that was amazing. And she was actually willing to draw the map anyway. And we know that they use this as a trope in that they then can lock them down to these details. If you have something written down, if you have a drawing, if you have something more than just words, it's going to be an important part to play later. So when she goes, look, I'll draw it for you. And, you know, she was like, okay, to draw it for a certain reason. And he goes, ha ha, you don't have to, because I've got a map. And then she actually gets closer to him.
So what's the power play in that? What does it matter if he's got a map?
Well, the fact that then it can be more accurate, because she can go, oh, I think there's trees over there and I think there's a creek over here. Well, he's going, there's the creek, there's the trees. Here's a grave that you dug, so what else were you doing? So he's showing that he's prepared, but she didn't get that. She just thought, oh, he's just helping me out, and that's why she got closer to him.
I get why she would react that way.
Yeah, well, they actually create the exact same pose. They sort of lock together to look at this map, and that's showing
the way
that
she hunched over the table with him was quite interesting.
It is, yeah. She is totally trusting, and she is totally calm and cool.
Well, Rice continues to go over the map he has with Alyssa, and it's interesting to also note the juvenile officer, Toby Meyer, she's also leaning over trying to see what Rice and Alyssa are looking at.
Is this correct then? So the wood line is back over here. Okay, so where
I went through here, and I hung out with Potter for a little while.
Okay.
And then there's a trail that goes out here, and then it's like right.
Draw for me, if you
I'm not exactly sure how far back it goes. It's like past all the clearings, and then when it starts to get to like a smaller trail and whatnot, there's a little side thing. It's like a side trail I go off on, and you just keep following that trail, and it goes off over there. And there's like a really cool cow pasture with sweet looking. It's like a creek kind of.
Okay, so it follows. It goes from pond to pond to pond. Are these
those
ponds?
Are ponds.
Oh, they're not.
No, those are like
clearings.
Yeah,
just clearings. Okay,
yes.
All right. So
there's like three clearings, I believe.
And then this goes to a creek bed.
And then there's a trail, but it's kind of hard to miss the side turning. It's like kind of right at the beginning of the trail. And it splits off and you cross a little creek, and then there's another like path, like a road path. You just follow that, and then it takes you to this real cool pasture.
Yeah, it was interesting. Rice got her to draw in the trail that she walked. You alluded to this. As you said, he is locking her down to one story, and she seems okay with that.
She's excited. She's happy to correct him. Like when he goes, I think these are tiny ponds, and she goes, no, that's clearings between the trees and all of that. And so he's like, oh, okay. But what we're seeing here is that she is speaking so freely. She has no stutter. She has no sentence justifiers like, oh, I believe, or maybe it's possible. You know, there's none of that. It's just straight talk, and that's the way that she's going. And so this now shows us how she is when she's talking truthfully, because she spent a lot of time in those woods, and so she played that there a lot. So she was happy to say, yeah, this is here and this is there and that's it, because that doesn't lock her down to where they're going to go. But this sort of shows that this is where she spent a lot of time, that she knew it from air, what it looked like, and she was happy to discuss her time there.
All right, well, let's focus a little on the changes to Alyssa's speech patterns as Rice pushes a little harder. And also for the first time, Officer Meyer also interjects before Karen adds in a vital piece of information.
Okay. How long were you gone that day after the walk?
I was gone for about an hour.
Okay, so you were gone about an hour. Mm-hmm. When you walked up there to the cow pasture, what were you doing?
I was just, enjoying nature, taking a walk.
You're smoking?
No.
Okay. If you were, that's fine. I don't care. I'm just trying to get an idea.
This is one of those occasions where if you were, we don't care if you were
sick. Oh, I know. I wasn't.
Okay. So you're walking up there. Mm-hmm. You go up to this cow pasture. Did you meet anybody up there?
No.
Did you meet Dustin up there? Did you meet anybody else up there? Mm-hmm. Did you see anybody on the trail?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was just the forest.
Okay.
Peaceful on the neck.
Okay. So you walked up there. And you're gone about an hour, and then you came back.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then what'd you do?
I went up in my room, and then I heard Emma, like, yelling, like, crying, and, you know? So I came outside, and she was, okay, well, we don't have the gravel road, but we excavated it. Say that's, like, the pond or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this is the gravel road, and it comes around this way.
Yeah.
But, like, in this part, there's, like, a steep incline. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
But she was down in there. And,
down
like,
in here?
Yes.
Okay.
And, like, she was stuck in thorn bushes. And I helped her out.
Okay. Now, you are in your room.
Mm-hmm.
What part of the house is your room?
It's up here. I have my window open. That's why I'm here.
Okay. Okay. So you heard Emma was she yelling?
Yeah.
Okay. So you went down to help Emma?
Mm-hmm.
She was stuck?
Yep.
Okay. Do you remember when that was?
Ooh, that was around 6:30, 6:15. It wasn't that long after I got back.
Okay. When you went home, you were up in your room?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you go down to help Emma,
mm-hmm.
and she was stuck. How was she stuck?
Well, like, there was a big old bush farm, like, big old thorn bush,
uh-huh.
and, like, she couldn't get over it. She somehow managed to get herself stuck in there, so I had to go down to help her.
Okay.
Is she like a little person? You look after her?
I do. I mean, she's annoying, but...
She's still your person.
Yeah.
If the time is critical, my husband remembers, because Alyssa went charging
running down the stairs. I mean, really loud.
So yeah, you know, I heard
exactly
her screaming.
What time she went charging down the stairs, because I think this is the critical time here, because this is when Emma and Elizabeth were parting, had just parted ways at this point before she started crying.
Wow, there's a lot to unpack there, including a great big silence. So Rice is still going over the walk that Alyssa claims to have gone on, and Officer Meyer tells her this was important, that if she went for a smoke break, she can admit it here, but when Grandma Karen adds in that the moment Elizabeth disappeared, that was the moment Alyssa went outside to Emma, her little sister. I think Rice was a little upset that Karen said that.
Absolutely, because he wanted Alyssa to say this. He didn't want it to come from Karen. And so Karen's supposed to be sitting there just being there as the grandma. Officer Meyer's supposed to be there as a support for her when she sort of, you know, if she breaks down or if she, you know, can't give information and ruin the line of questioning. Yeah, and so Rice sort of has to backtrack a bit, because Alyssa was then, you know, agreeing with her grandmother quite, you know, emphatically, you know, like she's going, that's right, because they still don't have the timeline quite down yet. And so that's a thing that Rice now has to go through, because he knows that when her younger sister was hurt, because she got caught in like thorns out the front of their home, that at 6 p.m., that's when everyone saw that happen, and they saw that she was running down to be with her sister. So she couldn't be in two places at once. So, you know, his first theory is now gone.
Yeah. So Rice brings the questioning back to that afternoon before deciding to ask about Alyssa's thoughts on Elizabeth.
So you came back, you helped Emma, and then what happened from there? You helped Emma out, and then what'd you do from there?
We went back to the house after I'd gotten her up. And
okay.
Then we started to get ready for church, because church starts at 7.
Okay. Okay.
Then we went to church, just did the activities till 8, came back, and everything was crazy.
So you got back at 8, and then what did they tell you?
Well, they were like, yeah, there's 3 sheriffs here. People are out searching for her. They can't find her. There's people searching the ditches in the forest, and they have dogs and everything. But I don't know.
Couldn't find Elizabeth. Yeah. Is that what they're telling you?
Yeah.
They just said she was missing.
Like, yeah, they were like questioning me about the day. They didn't actually question me that day, though, because I went up to go take a shower, and then
they just left or something. So they just told you Elizabeth was missing?
My grandma did, yes.
How did that make you feel?
I didn't think it would, like, you know, happen. Like, things like this don't happen to you, you know?
Yep. Well, what can you tell me about Elizabeth? I don't know, other than her name and her date of birth here, I don't know anything about this girl. Tell me about Elizabeth.
She's 9.
Okay.
I don't really know that much about her either.
Tell me what you do know about her.
Okay. She'd come over and swim. She's kind of girly. Not like naturistic, I guess you could say. She can be annoying.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm watching for age.
Yeah. She hangs on to Emma.
Okay.
She rides my, little sister's buds. Okay. That's about it. My brother's Anthony.
Okay. She's a brother, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You don't know anything else about her?
No.
Well, you know, there's been, there were some folks out there, out in the forest, I guess, digging some holes or looking at some holes.
Mm-hmm.
guess they had said that you like to go out there and dig holes. So, you know, I'm going to have to ask you some stuff about yourself.
Okay.
Because, you know, obviously that plays in there if they were looking holes and you're out there in the forest and that sort of thing. So,
right.
I guess just tell me a little bit about yourself so I understand where all this is coming from.
I really like nature, animals, being outside. It's
okay.
It's just, you know, naturistic like that. And I get bored really easily, and I'm entertained really easily.
Okay.
So, you know, digging holes just something to do. And behind our daycare house, there's like two that you haven't built in, right? Two holes. That from when me and my brothers were digging holes when we lived in the house.
Okay.
And they're really big. But the one that usually I don't really dig very big holes because I get bored. I'll like start doing it. I won't do this anymore.
Okay. Just like to dig holes.
And I like to climb trees.
Okay.
And I bury dead animals that I find, so I'm really disrespectful to them.
Okay.
I find it interesting that she admitted that she found her annoying.
She thought long and hard before she actually said that, because she didn't want to speak ill of the dead, though no one knows that she's actually dead. But she wanted to sort of talk about it as if she was her younger sister.
Mm.
So,
who she knew nothing about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but what we see here, and it's very interesting, is that we're seeing a motive. So she talks about her victim as girly and annoying and, you know, was like my younger sister and all of that sort of stuff. And then they start talking about her, and what she does is she buries dead animals and digs graves, you know. And so this girl is everything that Alyssa wouldn't be. Yeah, exactly, exactly. So they're showing that there's a difference between the two, and it's a very simplistic view, but it's where things start. We know now that she sees her as her opposite, and so it needs to be destroyed.
Okay. Big word. She has to be destroyed. That's, I mean, knowing what we know, it's apt, but geez, that's a big word. Why does something that isn't the same as her have to be destroyed?
Because she wanted it to not be her. She didn't want to be the boisterous girl. That's who she had become. I was exactly the same. I was such a tomboy growing up. And we look at the girls that are pretty and easy and don't go and, you know, cut their jeans up and stuff like that, and we realize that it's different to us, and we realize that that's what we're supposed to be. And so when she sees a young girl that is pretty and girly and gentle and easy, it's the opposite to how she is growing up. Like she says, I want to play with my brothers, and then I do calls, and then I get bored. Whereas Elizabeth here is just a sweet girl. And so there's that, if she's going to pick someone, she's going to pick something that she has a hatred towards.
Fascinating.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, after trying to work out the timeline of when Alyssa last dug a hole in the scrub, Rice asks the more important question.
Why did you dig that hole?
Because I was bored and I felt like doing something.
Tell me about that hole, though. It's a very specific hole. It's a very unique hole, I should say.
Are all of your holes like that?
No.
Okay.
But why? You dug the hole, so you know,
yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
That was a very, very unique hole.
I guess. I was digging. I mean, whatever shape comes to mind. I was just entertaining myself.
the reason I'm asking, it just seems like a, and you can understand why, as if people were out in the woods looking for,
yeah,
if looking for a person,
yes,
if they were lost, or God forbid, looking for, if they thought it was a, you know, God forbid, a body, why they would be alarmed by that hole, because they're, you know, come along a hole, a freshly dug hole that was, we're talking about a perfect rectangle hole that is 3 by about 4.5, 5 foot, perfect rectangle, I mean, perfect size, what would be a grave, or, well, think of a small coffin, so think a perfect rectangle about 3 feet by about 4.5, 5 foot, straight shovel marks down, about, as you described when I talked to you out there, about that deep.
Mm-hmm.
Straight down the first few inches of dirt, you know, up until you get to that real hard packed dirt, almost as if somebody were digging down, got to a point where you got to those roots in that hard dirt and realized it's too hard to dig. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's why so many people, I think, were alarmed by that hole, because that's the kind of hole that we as investigators typically see when we find a body underneath it. So I think that's why there were so many people alarmed by that. So that's the reason I was asking you why most people, if they were just going to bury a bunny or something out there, you know, they dig. I'm digging a hole, by God, just dig a hole. But for a 15-year-old girl to dig a perfectly rectangle 3 by 4 or 5 square rectangle hole, it just caught a lot of people as very odd.
Yeah, it makes sense. It does.
What do you think about that?
Well, I guess, you know, the timing for digging that hole was definitely not good.
Have you ever dug a hole like that before?
I have.
Where at?
Wow. Okay. So a girl's gone missing, and this girl, this teenage girl, is digging grave-shaped and sized holes.
Yep. It's interesting, but we can see that Rice is actually digging for something else. Sorry about that pun there. He believes that she didn't act by herself. He believes that her boyfriend helped her too, and that she wasn't strong enough to actually dig these holes, even though she very much did. But there's... Oh, yeah. It's okay. We'll go over it again. It's all good. But there's something more important that you missed as well. Not yet. He's just saying, you know, did you do it alone? She's going, oh,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm thinking I missed a reference to a boyfriend, but I didn't.
Oh, he's got a few suspects that he's going to
spoil. Spoiler alert.
But, yeah, oh, no, it's very interesting. I promise you it's not going to spoil anything, but you missed something else in that bit too. Can we just go, like, about the last 5 seconds or so? Can we just?
Okay, let's rewind the tape.
Have you ever dug a hole like that before?
I have.
Where at?
Yeah, I did hear that on the first time. She has dug holes before. Graves before.
Yeah, well, graves, yeah. But Karen's in the background nodding. She is giving her some self-assurance that it's okay that you've been digging holes and I don't see an issue with it, and she's actually supporting her. So they're both nodding their heads, and she's looking at her grandma to go, like, yeah, this is okay, right? And Karen's thinking, she's dug these holes before. She hasn't killed anyone before. She hasn't done it now. It's just circumstantial and a bit odd, I get, but it's like, it's okay. This is what she does.
Hang on. So the grandmother was nodding?
As well, very much so.
I'm going to have to be a pain. I need to replay that clip because I need to see that. I'm sorry for the people on the audio podcast. No. I need to see that.
Have you ever dug a hole like that before?
I have.
Oh, yeah.
Where?
There she is. Right.
Yeah, she's in the line of sight too. So Alyssa is sitting there and she's looking at her grandma as well as Rice. So they're in that sight. So the support person is in the worst possible place. Yeah, we'll get to her. But, yeah, so she's being comforted by, you know, like, the Papanna Gallery behind saying, yeah, it's okay that, you know, this is what you've done.
Digging graves.
Digging graves.
All right, well, things are about to take another turn because Rice asks what she does with the holes.
I've buried animals. They're up in behind the house. There's like a little hill that goes up, and there's trees, and there's like a little grave-ish site. We dug holes for dead cats.
Okay. I mean, did you? Because what I'm trying to do is so that I can go out of here and, you know, be able to tell some of these other agents that, look, this, you know, this wasn't, you know, she wasn't digging a grave site. She's dug holes like this before.
Mm-hmm.
So are there other sites you could show us that where you dug a perfect rectangle hole like this, or is this the only time you dug a hole just like that? Because if there is another hole like that, you could show us.
I think that's the only hole that's not filled in. That's
like, well, it doesn't matter if it's filled in or not. Okay. We have experts out there that can look at that, and I mean, these guys can. It doesn't matter if it's a year old. They can. Yeah. They have sonar. They can run right over it, and they can tell you the shape, the depth, the whole thing. I mean, these, we're talking about guys that have. The FBI, they have instruments that can do just about everything. So, I mean, if there is one that you can point out, we can show them, look, this is, you know, this girl likes to dig holes in certain shapes, and that way they'll calm down about, you know, nobody will think, you know, it's different or weird about it. So, have you dug a hole like this before then, or is this the first time?
It's not completely like this, but it's like kind of like that.
Okay,
like, so this is enough for a shoebox.
Okay, but this is the first time of that size.
Yes.
Okay.
But what about the big round ones? I kept falling in. I mean, they're deep. Would you guys quit doing this? Because they're dangerous. And we used to ride our horses up there. And I could break that. I mean, they're huge.
Okay.
There's like three or four of them. Yeah. Now, this is on our property.
Digging pits, furrow.
I don't know.
It was entertaining.
This is a bit weird. We've got Karen, the grandmother, really just trying to see this as an innocent scenario. They're having a laugh and a joke. I fall down their holes. They're too round. So she's almost saying, I told them not to make round holes, so they made rectangles. Yeah, they look like graves, whatever.
Pretty much. It's all very calm and easy and light and fluffy. And Rice is getting information that he needs, but he hasn't even gone anywhere near the red flags that he is seeing. Because every time that they say, oh, you know, that's all there is, he comes back with that the FBI is out there looking and they're experts and they can see a filled in hole. You know, but he doesn't even allude to the case. Like, they're talking about holes, they're not looking for a body, they're not looking for, you know, a dead girl or a girl that's been abducted. He hasn't even gone there yet. This is still pretty much surface level, even though we're talking about holes. But the puns in this episode are terrible. but it's interesting that that's where he's sort of going. He's just, being easy, talking about holes, you know. And so Lester is just totally and utterly blindsided that she has no idea what's about to come, but she just, you know, like Shay said, oh yeah, it's very entertaining.
She hasn't realized, like, you watch her, she is sitting back, she had a laugh in that last clip, she really doesn't know that they're circling on her at the moment. And Rice now is bringing the conversation back to the missing girl, and listen to this clip as he asks some very straightforward questions.
What do you know about all of this so far? Obviously, unfortunately, your poor family has been thrown in the middle of this. So what do you know about this whole investigation or mess?
She's still missing. They're out looking for her. They don't want more volunteers because there's a lot of volunteers so far. This is really big. They've had helicopters searching as well. And that's pretty much what I know.
It's very sad for her.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Emma was missing? God, it would be awful.
Yeah, and her mom, her family.
I mean, that's why they're making such a big deal about this. Yeah. I mean, can you, like I said, if it, I mean, you can understand why all this is going on.
Down the stairs when Emma was screaming outside. I mean, I just can't.
I know. I've got kids, so I can't even imagine. I'm going to ask you just some opinion questions here.
Okay.
What do you think happened to Elizabeth?
Well, I really don't think she would run away because she's nine. And They've been searching for 2 days, never got any sign of her. So I think that maybe someone kidnapped her or something. It's a terrible thing, but I don't know what else to assume.
Would she have easily been lured into a car? I mean, was she that kind of girl? I don't know anything about her. Would she have been with a kitten? I mean,
maybe. You'd have to ask her mom about
that. Sure.
Why is this support person talking? Why is she asking questions like this?
I have no idea, and I wanted to smack her upside the head just then. Would she have been lured away with a puppy or a kitten? Like, I have no words for why she said that.
That's good for a podcast.
I'm sorry. It's just so frustrating. You know, Rice is trying to get this going. He has her talking. He's asked her to do some hypotheticals to see if she would lead to. But as we saw, her responses were, look over there. She's been abducted. She's gone. She's not here. You know, don't look here, basically was her response. Not that it came across like that, but that's exactly what she was saying. Like, she's not going to be found in the holes I've dug. You know, she sent them elsewhere saying she probably got kidnapped. And then Maya saying, you know, would she have been lured away? Like, you're asking a 16-year-old girl who has death fantasies, but she's not going to think about, oh, well, the girl up the street want a puppy or a kitten. I'm not quite sure. But she's supposed to be there to help her. She's not there to question her. And it's like, and Rice just sort of looks at her and I'm like, yeah, mate, I'm with you. She's supposed to be like, are you okay answering these questions? Yeah. You don't have to answer these questions.
Yeah.
That's what she is supposed to be doing. But she's gone from being passive to active as an interrogator. And
they all want to be the interrogator. They all want to be the hero.
Yeah, they want that big win. They want to say, I got him, you know, but yeah.
All right. Well, after asking her what should happen to the person who may have hurt the little girl, Rice brings it back with a very direct question, and this shifts the entire interview around.
Did you do anything to Elizabeth?
No.
Did you cause her disappearance?
No.
Did you kill her?
No.
Do you know where she's at right now?
No.
Okay.
Pretty emphatic with those answers.
Well, her words were, but her body language was a whole different kettle of fish there. We might need to watch it again and explain it.
Okay, let's play it again, please.
Sorry, Amanda.
Did you do anything to Elizabeth?
No.
Did you cause her disappearance?
No.
Did you kill her?
No.
Do you know where she's at right now?
No.
Okay, what are you seeing? Because her hands are clenched. They are clenched. She shook her head with each no.
No, she didn't. No, she didn't.
Okay, what
this
happened?
This is to shake the head, left to right. She's going like this. She's going like it's a diagonal. So her head is trying to nod while she's trying to say no, and it doesn't work.
I'm going
to
be a pain. I know this is a good for an audio podcast, but I want to see that again. I'm sorry.
Did you do anything to Elizabeth?
No.
Did you cause her disappearance?
No.
Did you kill her?
No.
Do you know where she's at right now?
No.
Okay.
That was a shame. All right, Amanda. There's a little bit of a no. I don't know. Don't know.
Just hold tight. Just hold tight. It's sending us in a different direction. So we've gone from an emphatic no to I'm saying no, but I really want to nod my head, to we're going to see absolute nods later. So it's just interesting to watch how things develop. So this isn't the be-all and end-all yet. We've got a lot more to go through, but we're now seeing that there's a change in how she's responding to what her body language is doing and what she's saying. As you said, she's got her hands clasped now, whereas before she was talking with them and I was just playing with her fingernails. So things are starting to shut down because she's realizing that they're getting close to questions that she's not ready to hear.
Well, they literally asked if she killed the little girl. It's getting pretty intense. And then we have Maya once again ready to destroy a line of questioning.
I may have I may have, I'm new to this. Like, so Elizabeth was playing with Emma?
That's my understanding.
And when was that?
Oh, they were sometime after I had gone in the forest, because I guess Emma just decided to go over here with Elizabeth's.
Oh, after you ran away?
Yes.
She went to find somebody new to play with?
Have you talked with Emma about all this?
I have. I mean,
What does she say?
She's just saying that Elizabeth dropped her off and decided to go back home. She didn't really say too much about it, really. I mean, she said, yeah, they were playing and whatnot.
So she wasn't tangled up in the bush with her?
No. That was supposedly after Elizabeth dropped her off, I guess.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Do I need to stop?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Actually,
okay.
I need you to step out if possible. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah,
we can wait a bit longer because if we are, I'll go on with it.
Go ahead. Yeah. I'll, whatever the rules are, I'll
you go ahead
out.
First, please.
One, she does a lot of talking. And now she needs to use the bathroom. Maybe don't keep drinking that coffee or water or whatever you had.
Yeah, I mean, he's talking about the timeline. We're back to the timeline of when she disappeared. And she's like, oh, yeah, I need to wee. Like, I mean, really, you know, these can go for hours. We have done some of these interrogations that are like 10 hours long. Yes, they do take breaks. But we're like about half an hour in, three quarters of an hour into this interview, and she needs to pee and at the worst possible time.
I think we have this week's dickhead Derek. The interview's going so well. He's asking her if he killed the kid. I'm going to go to the toilet and give everyone a chance to rethink their narratives. Oh, yeah. Dickhead Derek is back for another week. Jesus Christ. Is she on the defense team? Bloody hell. Anyway. I know a lot of people have wanted the return of Dickhead Derek, so we'll see if we can find one each week. Hey, after a few minutes later, everyone returns to the room, I should say, and after a few scenarios are thrown around, Rice again tries the harder line of questioning.
Now, it's my understanding that did the FBI do a search or something of the house where you guys live?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. What was that all about?
They searched our house, I guess, for any signs of Elizabeth. And they found stuff in the room. But not, like, evidence like that. They had, like, marijuana seeds.
And you understand, I don't care about marijuana seeds or any of that.
And they found my medication.
Yeah. Don't care about that.
Yeah.
It's not what we're here about. Has Elizabeth ever been in the house? She's coming over to visit with Emma.
Yes.
Yeah, I assume she's a neighbor girl. She's probably been over there, so not a big deal there. So you said they searched your room.
Yes.
Other marijuana seeds and that sort of stuff. Did they find anything?
Nope.
Okay, did they take anything?
They took my sheet and a pillowcase, I think.
Did they take anything else?
I don't think so. I haven't really surveyed anything.
Okay.
A piece of clothes. Oh, they took a pair of pants.
And a diary. I mean, they gave us the list. It's not all coming to me what was on the list, but there's a long list.
Your diary. Okay. You ever gone through the diary?
I've looked at some of it, yes.
Okay. Did you know that?
No.
Does that make you angry?
Wow, Alyssa really seems to be on the back foot. We can see that in her posture.
She goes from a point of, yeah, they come and they took a sheet and a pillowcase and I know they're okay. But then when Karen says, and your diary, she stops moving. She goes solid still. She's a deer in the headlights there. She has no idea that this is what's happened, and she has no idea if anyone's read it or if they were able to get it as fast as they can. I mean, this is 2 days after the girl has disappeared, and Alyssa had no idea that her diary had been taken, and obviously Karen hadn't told her or asked her what was in it or anything. So this is a shocking revelation that has now come through.
And it was interesting because Rice picked up on how she felt and said, "How does that make you feel?" And she said, "Angry." So he's now got a good line of questioning. He sees an opportunity. Let's have a listen to what happens when he heads down this avenue of questioning.
Does it make you angry? Yeah. It's kind of your private, personal thoughts, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can understand being angry with that.
But only if it's sitting out. I've never gone looking. She's got it sitting open on the floor, and I'm in there. I care about it.
And the diary is supposed to be, you know, I understand where you're coming from, because the diary is supposed to be your, you know, where you keep your personal thoughts and your secrets and the rest of it. And that's where we, you know, put our secrets, isn't it? So, and, you know, with something like this, there's, you know, obviously, you know, we as law enforcement, you know, we're obviously, we don't know everything that's going on yet because we haven't found her yet. So we're looking at all avenues with this right now. And we've talked to a lot of people, and I can tell you, though, there's some people that we have talked to that we don't feel we're telling the full truth yet. And that's why we go around, we collect a lot of stuff, because we don't always know what is the evidence and what isn't. So sometimes we collect things that we don't know if they're evidence or not. So we collect things just in case. And that's why they go to your house and they, you know, just in case, because that sort of thing. So they collect a lot of things, such as your diary.
And the shovels.
And the shovels. Do you think they went through your diary?
If they collected it, then most likely. What? Well, I don't think I'm very supposed to take that diary.
I didn't quite catch that last part, but it was interesting how her face has completely dropped. There's a fear about people reading that diary, and it was also interesting that he allowed her to have some silence, some thinking time, and she broke that silence.
Yeah, as we know, we all hate uncomfortable silences, and that's what he's now doing. He's allowing her to sort of get stuck in her own head while he stares at her, so she can't look away. She can't sort of get up and wander around and try and sort of clear her head and get the adrenaline out of her system. She has to sit there and face him, and as a 15-year-old, she doesn't have that maturity to hold that back. So she goes, you know, so, and yep, she's not answering questions as much as she is, and she's giving hums and things like that now, because her body is just shutting down on her, and she is panicked, because if she knows they've got her diary, they also know that she also knows then that they have some huge evidence against her if they've read it.
If they've read it, and if they have her diary, why wouldn't they read it? Rice brings the whole thing back in a very interesting way. Have a look at this.
We talked a little bit earlier about technology.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you write something down,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. Let's say you write it down in pencil, and then you take a pen and try real hard to scratch it out. That doesn't make it go away.
Okay.
It's still there.
Oh, she's panicked. And it's pretty obvious he is setting something up. Amanda, you believe we need context and you need us to look at Alyssa's diary page. Now, the one that, though it's been scribbled out, they can still read it, and that's what he's saying there.
Yeah, absolutely. If we look at the images there, we can see that she has scribbled out quite darkly, and she's put the date as well, which is insane. It's weird the people who keep diaries and they go and kill people and then write
about it. I've never understood why anyone would keep a diary. Why would you put your innermost thoughts on a piece of paper for anyone to find? I've never understood it. I've never done it.
And I know you've read people's diaries, so that's a whole nother issue.
Hang on. I do not remember reading your diary.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. That's one thing that you did confess to me one time, but that's a whole nother story. But people who don't
know when we were teenagers. Does it count that I'm so old now I've forgotten what was in it?
Forget. Yeah, it wasn't that exciting. I was like 16, so it was all full of angst and bullshit. So
interesting, what you deem unexciting. But anyway, let's not worry about that. Let's go back to this page. So this is her. She's scribbled it out.
Yeah. So what she's written there, you know. It looks like that you wouldn't be able to read it. This is not the way to do it. She scribbled in lines for those that are watching the film. But you should always do circles to try and cross things out because it's just better than what she's done here.
Okay, so let's go back to the interview as Rice goes through what they have.
And forensically, and actually you don't even need a whole lot of forensics. If you hold it up to a line, you can see what was written. And then when that's processed forensically, every word, every stroke is still there. Do you hear me?
Wow, she can barely speak now. She knows that they have read that last diary entry, no matter how hard she scrubbed it out, they're saying they can read it, Amanda.
And they could. And it started off that they could only work out a few words. So what they had straight up was slit and throat. That's the first two words that they were able to unscribble out. So they knew then that she had killed the girl. And so then they had to make their efforts even stronger to actually see what else was written in there. And they were able to decipher the entire journal entry. And it reads, I just fucking killed someone.
Sorry, this is the diary unscrubbed.
Yes, so this is the forensic picture of what they were able to do and how they were able to get it completely and utterly deciphered. So, wow. So this is what she had actually written under that scribble. It says, I just fucking killed someone. I strangled them and slit their throat and stabbed them. Now they're dead. I don't know how to feel at the moment. It was amazing. As soon as you get over the, oh, my God, I can't do this feeling, it's pretty enjoyable. I'm kind of nervous and shaky, though, right now. Okay, I got to go to church. Lol.
Got to go to church. Lol. Oh, my God. That is huge. So now both Rice and Alyssa sit in silence for almost 10 seconds before Rice begins again.
What we want to do is find out what happened to the little girl.
Okay.
You have a little sister.
Yes.
If something happened to her, you would want to know where she is.
Yes.
Even if something bad had happened to her.
Yes.
You would want to know what happened to her. Right? Now, I don't know if she has a sibling or not. I don't know. I don't know her family. But I know her family wants to find her and recover her. I need to know what the truth is.
Okay.
We have your diary. We've read your diary. Including the last entry.
Oh, my God. she has been caught, and she knows it. She knows it.
Yeah, yeah, and her mind would be absolute racing. She would feel sick. Her body would be shaking inside. She's holding herself together. She's trying to think of all different stories. You know, a teenager writes crappy stuff. You know, it's not real. She would be thinking about scenarios like that. She would try and work out any way to get around what they might have read, because she doesn't know what they've read. She's just assuming that maybe they got a couple of words out of it, but they got the whole thing before Rice went into that interview. So he knew, you know, and he has just basically come out and said, we could read it, you know. So
and he says, we know you did it, and she doesn't deny it.
No, no, and that's the thing. She's sitting there now, just sort of like shaking her fringe out of her face. She is in so much shock. She had no idea that they were coming to here, and this has been besides the toilet break that they had to have for the other officer to go, he has been in there with her the whole time. So it's not like he's being fed info and information's coming in. He had this ready to go. And it's amazing how long they let things play out before they go, yeah, but we've got this.
That takes patience, because you just want to go, here's your diary. We know you did it. Case closed, right? But it's exactly. Fascinating, the journey they go on. Amanda, we need to have a Bex and a good lie down, because what I love about this, I've been asking for a confession. I have a feeling you've given me one. What can we expect in the next episode of Monsters Who Murder Serial Killer Confessions?
Well, we have Rice bringing up a whole different set of scenarios again and offering a different suspect that might have helped her, because he really doesn't believe that she did this alone. And then we have a twist that's going to slap you all in the face.
Slap in the face. Can't wait. All right, Amanda Howard, thank you very much. Don't forget to have a full interactive experience with Amanda on video. Go to patreon.com/MWMconfessions or subscribe to the video feed through mwm.uscreen.io. I'm Rob McKnight. She was Amanda Howard. We'll see you next week for this fascinating case. Thanks, Amanda.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.